Happy New Year.
Okay. You wanted to say something, Stephen?
I thought you were waiting for me to start. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it's whatever. I mean, we can also have you start the show like you did the last program that we did in 2016.
You saw what I was politely waiting for you to start, and then it was a hesitation. Well, since we already did this, when the last episode you put up started off with the riff from Three Log Box, I literally spit water out of, like, and I jammed the whole, you jammed the riff a good while, but I jammed it on, I jammed the actual song, the whole song for Terry, and I'm like, check this out, man, this is Sammy talking about, you know, Three Log Box
stuff. It's a great show. I love the fact that we had, at least we're able to close the show out with some Maiden and some, you know, some Sammy Hagar. You know, that was really good.
Aces High is a great track. I mean, Bruce always had trouble singing it live. I would suggest Purgatory next time.
Nice. So if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, not on YouTube, but on the audio podcast on iTunes available, you will find extra tidbits in there. We threw in our, the award show is especially good when you listen back to the audio podcast of this program, which I was not able to put in a whole lot in the video podcast, but the audio podcast awesome. Was damn good.
Yeah, it was probably the best edit job you've ever done.
Oh, thank you.
And I mean that. And I was really impressed. And I was also impressed that we went with, you know, Kenny Omega is the best wrestler in the world. And then a couple of days later has what some have called a 6-star match, whatever.
Oh, yes. Well, you went ahead and gave us the big hint. We will be talking about Wrestle Kingdom 11, at least the highlights of Wrestle Kingdom 11. Amazing show. But mostly known for its main event. We'll also give our little hints as to what we can find going on in the Royal Rumble and a couple of different pay-per-view events and special events that we did not talk about toward the end of 2016. We are back. Pro Wrestling Cast is back, and we would like for you to support our program. Feel free to like and subscribe to our show on YouTube as well as iTunes and other podcatchers. Spread the word about Pro Wrestling Cast on social media. Our Twitter handle is at PWrestlingCast. You can also find us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast. Tons of ways to support our program, not only spreading the word, but also supporting us via our Amazon links. Everybody out there who's got a podcast seemingly has a support system from Amazon. And from day one, Amazon has been a very special supporter of us. Every time you shop and click our Amazon banner first, Amazon gives us a little kickback for promoting Amazon.com, a great way for you to pick up the stuff that you need and want every day, especially now that we're moving into tax season. You know, a great way to spend your money is by supporting our show via those links. We also have links to WWE Shop and Pro Wrestling Tees as well. So please click on those links. Just like I am wearing my Pro Wrestling Tees, Kenny Omega, the cleaner shirt for today's program, which is good stuff there from Pro Wrestling Tees. So once again, support our website, bookmark our website, prowrestlingcast.com, and support this podcast. And now, on with the show.
Listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
I can't help that I'm the greatest wrestler alive today.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
Drink it in, man.
Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
The love that was given me, and this time I will repay you now, because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion of this hard time blues.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
And I am truly the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Pro Wrestling Cast.
Now can you dig that, sucker?
Love you, take me any way you choose. Heartache coming my way, angel feels like my door.
So yes, it was a magical Wrestle Kingdom adventure, and I don't know what to say. Is it the best wrestling show ever? I don't know about that, but it definitely seemed like one of the best ever that I've seen. It's right up there with Great American Bash 89, and it's awesome.
You know, this is a really golden age for wrestling. You know, it's another golden age. You had last year's Wrestle Kingdom, you have this year's Wrestle Kingdom, you've got some outstanding programming on WWE Network, and great stuff from Ring of Honor and independent wrestling programs. This has been a really outstanding year for wrestling, and I think 2017 is going to be another great year. I have let's talk about, and we teased a little bit about what we're going to talk about. Let's go ahead, since you already brought up Wrestle Kingdom 11 in the Tokyo Dome. I can tell you that just from my experience, I've been in the Tokyo Dome.
Really?
I saw Guns N' Roses there.
Wow! Did they fill it up?
It was packed. It was a sold out show. Guns N' Roses during Chinese Democracy 2009, maybe.
Why were you in Japan?
I was in Japan for about a week and a half for work.
Oh, wasn't that nice?
Yeah, it was nice. Trust me. Not only that, but the same day I went to Disneyland in Tokyo, I went to see Guns N' Roses on my birthday. So it was really nice.
You wasn't at Disneyland. You was in Roppongi.
Yeah, I was in both.
You saw the Roppongi lights.
That's right. You saw the Roppongi Vice. It was
Roppongi
pretty good.
Nights.
Me and Trent Beretta.
The new champions. They defeated the Young Bucks at Wrestle Kingdom, a story that has been totally buried under the of the incredible card. Roppongi Vice are the champs.
I know, and it was a great match too. It was a lot of fun anyway. Wrestle Kingdom also saw the debut of Cody. The American Nightmare. It sucks that he can't use his last name. Whatever.
Cody. So
he goes by the name Cody. And we also saw an amazing match. Kenny Omega versus Okada, who was defending the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, the Grand Prix Champion. Amazing. Amazing stuff. We also saw Naito defend the IWGP Championship against Tanahashi. Also very good.
A main event level quality match that just happened to come right before.
Right.
I mean, it was 4.5, 4.75 star match with great psychology. And, you know, Tanahashi's new music sucks. I don't know what happened. His song High Energy was not, I heard he was going to have this new song, you know, and I feel bad because, like I said, his body isn't quite as beautiful as it's been in years past. My wife frowned upon that comment. I think she's got a thing for him, but I told you not to talk during the show. And what was I talking about? And yeah, the music sounded stupid, and he came out, and the crowd was totally for Naito, really. I mean, how could they not be? But anyway, by the middle of the match, everyone's like cheering for Tanahashi to somehow come back on Naito. That's how good their psychology is. They're so fantastic.
Yeah, they are fantastic.
Both of them in different ways.
I really like the presentation of the pay-per-view overall, because it's not like WWE. You know, there's no shaky cams.
No.
It was just done very well. I didn't get sick when I viewed the program.
I want to give some props while we have a chance, because we move fast in this show. We don't waste time. It's like Sammy Hagar song, Will Ospreay match, Iron Maiden song, Tanahashi match. You know, Cody Rhodes rumor. Takahashi. Now, this is the guy that was named Kamatachi when he did his excursion to Mexico. Takahashi has won the junior heavyweight championship from Kushida. Kushida is another incredibly underrated, amazing worker in New Japan. And they had a fantastic 4.5-star, I think, match. And, you know, my poor wife had to watch Takahashi, as he's called now. He kind of came in. I said, it's Kamatachi. And they said Takahashi. And I'm like, man, there's a lot of names for me to remember, guys. You really got to stop with all this. And he came in and licked Kushida's belt. It was very sexual sort of angle. And Kushida no-sold it, which I thought was really weird. And, you know, and he wears a jacket that says Bad Brains on it. So right there, I'm going to like you.
Right.
You know? And then she's like, well, this guy does like a 4.5-star match. He's awesome too. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, he's so good at playing a weirdo, you know, that you kind of forget. That match was fantastic. The open violence weight champion Shibata lost his title to Hiroki Goto. I didn't misspoke and say Tarzan Goto like last time, which is really funny.
You said I didn't even hear that.
when Kenny Omega beat Hiroki Goto at the G1 Climax final, I called him Tarzan Goto, who's literally 20 years in the past and in Japanese wrestling. They had a very violent match. And as you know, when there's violent wrestling matches, and you might have to censor this, it makes my ding dong hard. Which is why I'm so excited that Minoru Suzuki's back. But I apologize. You're killing me.
You know, I've been under the weather a lot.
I know.
Because I've been traveling and now, like, literally coughing my brains out.
I'm really sorry. I thought about that all day to say that. It's funny.
That's good. No, good. Good. I'm glad you have that out of your system. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
And then they had one other match and it was, you know, nobody talked about it.
What, the Ring of Honor match? You had Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly.
They had a fine match.
It was to become the new champion. So, Adam Cole, congratulations, buddy. You are the new Ring of Honor champion.
Well, that means Kyle O'Reilly's leaving. So Kyle O'Reilly soon be on NXT vying for the title against Bobby Roode sooner than you know.
Yeah, so it'll once again, everything comes back to NXT WWE. So let's talk about the main event. Everyone is talking about it. Stone Cold Steve Austin talked to Dave Meltzer about it because it was such a ballyhooed match.
Right, I heard that. Yeah,
and for good reason. We're talking about the Okada versus Kenny Omega championship match. And I saw this match. You texted me when I was in Las Vegas. I just came back from the CES show, the Consumer Electronics Show, the biggest, largest electronics showcase in the world. And you texted me and said, this match is insane, right? You said something to that effect. Like
I said, Meltzer gave this match 6 stars because that was the most, I thought, like, 6 stars? Why now? You know, why, to me, Meltzer almost steals the match by giving it 6 stars in a weird way. He's like,
he gets himself over by doing that.
Well, of course you can do this at some point. If you have 5-star matches for 30 some years, and then one day you give a 6-star match. I've seen him give 6-star ratings before. He gave it to a Manami Toyota match. He gave one to a Steamboat Flair match that wasn't on a TV show. This is the inside deep cover intel kind of stuff that I know. Okay.
Right.
But you know, is it a 6-star match? I don't know what a 6-star match is. Is it the best match I've seen in a long time? I thought to myself, this is the best match I've seen since Nakamura Ibushi 2 years ago. And then I watched it again and I thought, gee, it's better. So it's probably the best match since maybe Misawa against Kobashi. I don't think I would say it's better than those matches. I don't know. It blew me away. The 48 minutes flew by. That's the best thing I can say about it. I mean, the 48 minutes flew by.
Right.
There's so many great spots. dangerous spots.
Dangerous. Oh my God.
The dragon suplex was so dangerous.
Ugh.
That's Okada for you. He just takes. Nobody's given enough credit to Okada. I keep bringing this up. This
right.
is a recurring theme in the show. Okada's the best wrestler in the world, not all these other guys, because he's always in the match.
It takes two to tango.
He's had like five-star matches in 12 months. I mean, he literally right. has.
The guy's on fire for sure.
He's amazing. He's incredible. And yes, Kenny Omega rose to the occasion to have this incredible match, and I'm very proud of him. And perhaps we should broach the subject of these dark rumors, because I hear Rob Jenkins has threatened to stop watching wrestling if Kenny Omega signs with WWE.
Well, once again, you know, I think the reason why Kenny Omega gets the, you know, is getting a lot of the headlines is because he's a guy, Jane. You know, he is an American wrestler. He speaks English. He's got the look. He is, you know, everything that Vince looks for in someone to take the mantle from John Cena. Is he not? You know,
have we not published every promo he's done this year?
Pretty
well,
much.
I mean, in 2016.
Well, yeah. I mean, we ended the show with literally the best of Kenny Omega the promos, did we not?
Skin tight jeans.
Yep.
Fired. For life, except for AJ.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's like two or three more. The one he did when he won the G1 was great. I don't speak Japanese, but you know, all this stuff that
the stuff he ripped off from Rocky and then converted into his own, which was great.
The Terminator intro, we were texting about that earlier. You know, that's another very WWE thing he did. This guy's bright.
I think that was totally like, hey, Triple H, you want to make sure that you're, you know, you want to have an entrance from the Terminator. I got your entrance from the Terminator.
His Terminator entrance looked better and it was cheaper.
It sure did.
Like $152,000 cheaper.
Yeah, totally.
But Kenny's the man. Kenny is a better worker than Triple H, you know, who I find is a mediocre worker. I do agree with Bret Hart. I don't think he's a great wrestler. I think he's a very good wrestler. I do think he's in the top 1,000.
Wait. You agree with Bret Hart?
I do. I agree with Bret Hart on a lot of stuff.
Bret Hart has a lot of heat lately.
Bret has heat because he's willing to talk against the evil empire, you know. But Bret's, you know.
Bret's Bret.
Bret's just egotistical. Bret's a narcissist about his fake character. That's annoying. But Bret's book's terrific. I can't recommend it enough. It's one of the best wrestling books. And it's very long and expansive. And he obviously wrote it without WWE supervision. There's a lot of stories in there. I don't like how he talks bad about Bad News Brown or Bad News Allen, whatever you want to call him. That does make me angry. But other than that, I think he's pretty cool. And I think, you know, he's kind of right about some of that Ric Flair stuff he says. Like, you know, calling Flair the greatest of all time. He's probably the greatest American character of all time. Maybe him and Dusty and a couple other guys. But he's not the greatest worker of all time. That's just not true.
That's true. I think we all realize that.
We're kind of on a tangent, but I mean, what we're talking about is great workers and Okada and Omega. You know, Nakamura is basically, you know, I was listening to a show from a year ago and we were talking about how Naito was going to get pushed and how Kenny Omega was taking AJ's spot.
Yeah.
But it's funny how much of a Nakamura mark I was. And, you know, basically Nakamura came to NXT, had the Sami Zayn match, and he said, well, you know, I've been wrestling for 30 years. No, he hasn't been wrestling for 30 years. I'm 38 years old and I'm kind of hurt and banged up and I'm just going to do my little match. And he does the same match every night. That's what Nakamura has turned into, unfortunately. And that's for his own self-preservation, you know, and then Tanahashi's hurt. Okay. AJ's in WWE. So he doesn't have the level of workers to work with. So that leaves Kenny Omega and Okada as the two best in the world. So, you know, I think last year we said the four best workers, we made it very clear. Okada, AJ Styles, Tanahashi, Nakamura. I think looking at it now, it's obviously AJ Styles, Okada, and Kenny Omega has been added into that group. And you could throw in Naito maybe if you want, whatever you want to do. But
I don't think you can leave Nakamura out simply for the fact of self-preservation because he's waiting for bigger and better things to come along. You're not going to, you know. He has to pace himself, keep himself healthy for that time when he can mysteriously appear at the Royal Rumble, for example.
Samoa Joe will mysteriously appear at the Royal Rumble.
And we can get into that. Maybe we should wait. We should wait to talk about that. Let's finish this up.
Oh, okay. I thought you were leading down a rabbit hole. You know me. I'm very deep. I'll take something and run with the symbolism.
It's my fault. It's my fault. You know,
hey, you got to get your three-lock box right.
What song are we going to kick off this show with? Is my question.
I don't know how you can outdo the last one. I don't know.
I really don't either.
I can't think of any.
Start with a Terminator theme.
You might as well start with three-lock box again.
My three-lock box again? No, I don't think so. Well, we'll do something else. We might do rock candy or something, you know, or heavy metal. Oh, the heavy metal's good.
Heavy metal. By Hagar. Yeah. I don't know if we can do a Hagar song every.
Well, I'm asking you, give it some thought and remind me, and I'll put it in post.
I'm still pushing for Blue Murder. I'll do that every week.
Okay, Blue Murder. Okay. How about we'll do Blue Murder? Blue Murder to start.
My wife is too excited. Okay.
I was actually talking about Blue Murder. By the way, this is the show about heavy metal. Stephen Anthony here, the wrestling. You see, we just jumped into it. Didn't even do any intro. Stephen Anthony, the wrestling historian and heel commentator, Al John Go, lifelong wrestling fan. You see, there you go. We just jumped into the show.
My name's not Stephen Anthony. It's Stephen. Oh, Stephen. It's Stephen Berger. That's my real name.
Okay, there's always a surprise around every corner. The show was very good.
Wait, hold on. Before we talk about this wrestling stuff, why were you talking about Blue Murder?
Oh, it just come up. We've been talking a lot about some classic heavy metal. Iron Maiden had come up. We were talking about this, and I said, you know, my friend Steve is a big Blue Murder fan, and of course, we went off into a big tangent. You know, we're hanging out talking about heavy metal because we were in Las Vegas. A lot of classic guitarists happened to be coming by our work tent there. And one of them was Dave Amato from REO Speedwagon. We were talking about, you know, classic rock solos and stuff. And then of course Blue Murder had come up, you know, so that's why it came up.
Well, I think they're a terrifically underrated band. They really only have two albums and really only people know the one album, and they had about, you know, nine songs on it. So, right. I mean, I get it, but they were a terrific band. And if anybody, you know, I'm just throwing that. You have to like heavy metal music to listen from the 80s to listen to this. But, you know, they're very good. And I think John Sykes is terrific. Have you met John Sykes?
I have not met John Sykes, but man, he plays a mean Les Paul.
That honestly shocks me that you have not met John Sykes.
I have not. And we have not. That's another rabbit hole altogether. You know, occasionally here in Pro Wrestling Cast, we will be talking about fashion and heavy metal. That's just the way it goes. But,
okay. So you're Coverdale guy. I got it.
I know. I was going to, let's go ahead and put a button on this. The show, everything that we had hoped. I think it was overall a very good build up until the final two, three matches.
Four.
Which was very good. Four matches. It's really what it was building toward. You know, awesome stuff. And then, of course, the climax, the main event, I thought was every bit as gut-wrenching and climactic as you would think. A lot of false finishes, dangerous spots, as you said, almost took me out of it when that dragon sleeper off the top rope was happening. And I thought for sure that Okada broke his neck on that move.
Well, Okada always likes to do dangerous pile drivers or things like that almost kill him and break his neck. He did against Ishii, Marufuji. He just did another gotch pile driver with Suzuki. You know, he likes to take chances with his neck. Oof. He's a dangerous guy, man. He's I mean, do you think that he wears makeup? I swear he wears makeup sometimes. I look at him, I'm like, does he have makeup on?
Why not?
Did you see the car he got out of? What kind of car was that? It was like a Lamborghini, like a red Lamborghini. He gets out of it with a pinstripe suit on. He's pretty cool. Okada's the man.
He is the man. You know, he is also ripe for the picking for the WWE. I'm hoping at some point they're able to do that. I mean, we're going to talk about the WWE in just a little bit, but your overall thoughts and we can move on from New Japan.
It's the best pay-per-view I've seen in over a decade. Yeah. What do you think of that?
Well, there you go. I would suffice it to say, and for the WWE fans, and this is a basis of reference, there are, for me, you know, I can name off the top of my head, five of my favorite WWE style matches, you know, and at the top of the, at the top of the list, you know, I go with Undertaker, Shawn Michaels being so memorable, rewatchable time and time again. You have Brett and Austin, you've got Flair, Steamboat, you've got the original tables, ladders, and chairs match I could watch over and over again. So this one would fall into that top five of matches that I would see forever and ever and always see something new and just enjoy the hell out of. I don't rate matches. I leave that to the Dave Meltzers of the world. But in terms of one of my favorite matches of all time, this has cracked the top five. And there you have it, you know? So,
yeah.
And I think that's probably the best thing. Is it a buy for me? Of course it is. An emphatic thumbs up for me. And if you get the chance to see it now that New Japan has gone all digital, you can subscribe to the New Japan Network. And I guarantee you that this pay-per-view alone has boosted their subscriber listings, their subscriber base, because it's that damn good.
Well, I tried to tweet that and Meltzer corrected me. Did you see that?
No, what was that?
I said, Meltzer reported on that they boosted, you know, over 5,000 subscribers in an hour when it was on New Japan World, and he quickly tweets back at me, 24 hours.
Oh.
Like, sorry.
Well, so that's what happens when you tag the man. You know, at least he interacts with you, so that's good.
He does like to interact with me, and
that's good. You are a Wrestling Observer, you know, VIP. So,
well, I don't get harassed like some of the other people on Twitter. Like, he really goes to, you know, kind of out and crush and destroy some people. Actually, this is a really funny tweet he did just the other day. A guy said, a guy had asked him the question, what do you take into consideration when you rate a match? This is the best tweet of the year. Meltzer says, unnecessary flips, fists, not flips, air guitars, fight forever chance, the number of reverse Frankensteiners, and copying Dan Fry Takayama spots. That's what he uses to rate his matches. That's really funny. See, he's funny like me.
You know what? You know, that's brilliant. You know, coming from a man with a very, very, well, I'm not even going to go there.
No,
I'm not going to go there. So anyway, having said that, hey, let's move on. You know, a lot of people are commenting about Kenny Omega and his future. He has been, I believe that his contract runs out at the end of January with New Japan.
January 31st, correct.
And New Japan has made it a point to lock down many of their talents in order to prevent the raid of the WWE that happened last year with Bullet Club members. So what is the deal? Is Kenny Omega going? Is he staying? Did they cinch up a multi-year deal with Kenny Omega? If there was any other time for him to move and become part of the grandest stage of them all in the WWE, it would be now. He is the hottest commodity in the world of professional wrestling. What say you?
Deep Intel with Japan says the New Japan folks are saying that he's with them. Some have said he signed a two-year contract. He was offered a two-year contract, which would extend to January 31st, 2019. Some think that he's with New Japan and he's taking off this tour because this is the Fantastica Mania tour. It's sort of like CMLO meets Japan. So you can kind of rely on like guys like Dragon Lee and Atlantis coming in to sort of, you know, fill out the card. So Kenny was going to miss this show anyway, and, you know, maybe be back in March and perhaps, you know, win the belt by Dominion in July, because in July, New Japan wants to make this sort of, they want to tour the U.S. the way they were with people injected into Ring of Honor shows. Now, I think that's a terrific idea. And this is their way of making their way into the market. So with Kenny as champion, okay, you can really get it done. John Cena, however, on his Instagram, put up a picture of Omega. Now, Omega is not going to appear at the Royal Rumble. He's under contract past that point. And that's what he did last year when he shared AJ's picture. So I guess I don't really know what's happening. I have a strong feeling that Kenny will stay with Japan because that's what Kenny does. Kenny knows how to speak Japanese. Kenny's lived in Japan for over 5 years. Kenny's always wanted to be in Japan. Kenny's always wanted a main event. And Kenny probably wants that IWGP belt. So I feel firmly that he'll stay in Japan, but we don't really know for sure. I don't know. And I wouldn't want to see WWE screw it up. And I mean, I don't know. I guess AJ became a star. I guess you could put, I mean, AJ against Kenny Omega on SmackDown.
Well, it's only a matter of time, I think, before we see Kenny Omega in the Fed, the WWE. Yeah. He's still a very young man at the age of, the tender age of 33. Oh, my.
Oh, God, if I was 33.
I know, right? He's got a lot left to contribute. His promos are very unique. He has got, you know, he's got this charisma, speaks volumes, something you cannot teach. He right. is the X factor. He is, like I said, the hottest thing going today. So I believe that it's only a matter of time. You said that you queued up something that was from our previous show, from a previous show in regards to Kenny Omega. Is that something that, what exactly did we say on a previous episode?
I was unable to cue it up the way I wanted to. Okay, I dropped the ball on that.
What was the gist on that?
Because well, I mean, I can pull it up. Basically, we were saying that New Japan shouldn't worry because AJ was being deep pushed and Kenny was going into his spot and that Naito was going to feud with Okada over the belt and everything would be okay. And that Kenny had just done this, which came true. And Kenny had just done this cool angle where he cut a promo and he said, "You're fired from the Bullet Club." And how well did that work out? I mean, nobody could have. I mean, I guess it was obvious how good it would end up. I'll tell you what. 1 year ago, Kenny Omega had a match with Kushida at Wrestle Kingdom, and it wasn't nothing like this. I mean, you know, he's not a cruiserweight type of wrestler. I think that's the. That might have been weird. Look, whatever happens with Omega, Gato will figure it out.
Okay. Right. He has no choice.
Ingo Bernables is the thing in New Japan. You know, Omega is a guy, Gene, that is interesting. And you got Cody Rhodes now. And now they're pushing Juice Robinson. He got a big win the other day.
He sure did.
But now Juice Robinson, I could see being a WWE guy one day. Now that guy I could see.
Sure. Sure.
But I don't know. Wow. I love Japan, so I'm going to hope Kenny stays. You know me.
Right.
You know, I just can't see him. I just can't see him leaving. I just don't see it. It just doesn't make sense to my brains.
I don't know. Well, we shall find out. I think it's just a matter of time before Kenny Omega leaves. And I think there are so many positives for him going. And if he is to go, so be it. You know, I think New Japan, of course, will continue to thrive and be a very distant number two to the WWE. And I think as the WWE grows into the international markets, these talents are going to be really, really important. We're going to save our thoughts on the ever-growing international programming for the WWE Network as the United Kingdom Championship Tournament is looming. We'll leave our discussions on that for a future show. But let's talk about the WWE. We did not talk about Roadblock. It was a very run-of-the-mill type of program that happened earlier this year or late last year. I don't even remember, to be quite honest. But all I know is that the highlight of the program for me and there were some really good matches there. Okay. Definitely was the Iron Woman match. And I will say this, everyone's talking about how the women's division has kind of been derailed because there's been so much focus on the Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair feud. But let's be honest, that was a badass match, you know, and if the matches continue to be this good, what's there to worry about? Of course, there are other talents that are just chomping at the bit. And Melina has yet to debut, and they keep on teasing it week after week to the point where even Corey Graves is joking around about it, because it's like, I don't care if we have to wait until 2018, it's going to be worth the wait. And I'm like, dude, Lord have mercy. You've only been teasing Emma's return now in the makeover of Emelina for the past 3 months, and it's been like a, you know, an ongoing tease, if you will.
Can't turn the whole one to the housewife.
Right. So, it has been interesting. I know that they need to have a shakeup in the main roster. We know that Finn Balor is getting ready to come back. He did make a little bit of a press conference junket there for the UK Championship tourney that's happening over this weekend. It is January 12th as we record this.
He'll be back in March.
Yeah, he should be back sooner than later. So, WWE is making some strides. You know, they also included a brand new program called Bring It to the Table, which is a very ESPN-like show, which breaks kayfabe. I mean, they talk about things like Hulk Hogan returning. They talk about Ric Flair and Halle Berry. They talk about a lot of different things. And, of course, on the show, you had two of the most controversial figures in WWE talking. You had JBL and you had Paul Heyman, which was very good. Mm-hmm. So I give that show an A+, and I hope that more of those shows are able to come. And as they talk about the WWE within the WWE without necessarily having that WWE flair about it, it definitely looks like an ESPN type of program, which is something I've been waiting for the WWE to do.
Well, so let me backtrack if you don't mind. I did want to say one thing about the Iron Woman match. You know, I think it's become very clear that Vince McMahon is not a fan of Sasha Banks and is booking her, you know, like he does people he doesn't like, even though he's giving her a lot of time. I just feel like Charlotte Flair is in that weird hierarchy of whatever their little incestuous situations they have. And I think he just has had enough of Sasha. I've heard deep cover intel says that Sasha reminds him of Daniel Bryan, and that's a death knell. And I wouldn't be surprised to see her more and more deep pushed, you know, as time goes on. But these weird bookings with her, especially the cage match too, make her look foolish. And I think they turn off fans like myself. And that's I just wanted to make sure to get that point across, because I see we're moving on a bit from there. But
it seems to me though that they've invested a lot of time and money on her and her character, especially over the course of the past few months, that if Vince didn't like her, that they would quickly move away from her.
They are, and they're going to go with Bayley now, and she'll be jutted down the card. Watch.
Okay. No, we'll see. I think that, you know, Sasha Banks, people like Sasha Banks. And
I love her.
Yeah, I think she's great. I like Sasha a lot, too. Why is it that Vince doesn't like her? Just because of the whole comparison to Daniel Bryan being an underdog, being undersized?
No. She scares him. She scares him. Oh,
because
of
the risk she takes?
Yeah, she wrestles like freaking Okada stuff and reverse Frankensteiners and all this crap, you know?
Because she's a big fan of Japanese pro wrestling.
Well, she's going to end up in Japan pretty soon. She's going to be in Japan having 5-star matches, which is fine with me.
Which is also fine with me. You know, and we like Sasha Banks here at the Pro Wrestling Cast. We also like Bayley. I wonder if they're going to give Bayley a last name like they decided to give Charlotte Flair.
They're going to push Bayley like Daniel Bryan. Watch. They're going to give her the Daniel Bryan push.
I think they are going to give her the Daniel Bryan push. I do agree. And I think this year is going to be the year for Bayley. But once again, as a face, it is a lot more fulfilling to have the face on the chase and then finally claim the belt. And I believe that she's going to get that championship opportunity at WrestleMania. But we shall see how she works on the chase.
Do you want to hear the rumor?
What is the rumor?
4-woman match, Sasha, Bayley, Charlotte, and Nia Jax.
Oh, yeah, I thought so. So that is one of the main events for the women. And I know that they are going to be working on another one too, with the SmackDown champion as well, Becky Lynch, who, you know, right now she's kind of on an island by herself.
I thought that other chick won it.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true. Alexa Bliss is there, but you know, you have to think, you know, those two are going to be in a program, but who else are they going to insert in the program in order to make it happen? Yeah. They're the only two relevant wrestler, female wrestlers on SmackDown right now. There hasn't been a whole lot of stuff going on. Nikki Bella's kind of been in the background, and so is Natty Neidhart and all that.
I think Carmella kind of bombed a little bit. I know you're a fan, and I know she was nice. I know she was very nice to us at the show.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're really hurting on NXT depth chart-wise. You know, you just got Asuka. She's having a four-woman match with Peyton Royce and a couple other gals I'm not very familiar with.
I almost think that it's time for Asuka to go ahead and move on up because...
I don't think she will. I don't think they will. I just saw a Kenny Omega Asuka match. It was against Masato Tanaka and some other gal from Japan. I can't remember her name. And it was a 30-minute match, but most of the match, and it looked like they were wrestling in front of about 28 people, and most of the match was centered around Asuka and Kenny Omega's buttocks. None of that is that, that's all accurate. I don't know what was going on.
Well, the Royal Rumble is coming up. Okay.
I want to see that at the Royal Rumble.
You want to see that in the Royal Rumble.
Let me book the Royal Rumble. All DDT wrestlers.
So my question to you is, what is the Royal Rumble to you? What is going on with The Undertaker? Is Conor McGregor thinking from, UFC, thinking about joining WWE? There's a lot that's going on with this Royal Rumble. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are like this. I don't think The Undertaker will win the Royal Rumble. They had an idea of doing Cena Undertaker. I hear they've 86'd that idea. And Undertaker was going to win the Royal Rumble and go in and face Cena, supposedly, allegedly, for the SmackDown title. And then they've also teased Braun Strowman Taker, which I really thought they were going to do. And, you know, if I had to think about it now, to win the Royal Rumble, I think they're going, and I hate to get right into the WrestleMania prediction phase. There's only three matches I know for sure, which are Triple H Rollins, Brock Lesnar against Goldberg, of course, and Shaquille O'Neal against Big Show. These are the only three they've really lined up. So I think you got to do Kevin Owens Jericho. So I don't know if you have Jericho win the Royal Rumble or something. I don't really think that works. So what I'm seeing is Samoa Joe wins the Royal Rumble. And he goes and takes on AJ Styles at WrestleMania. What do you think of that? What do you think of that? Hey, take all my money. Now I'll get the network. I'm kidding, of course. That's ridiculous. But, you know, I mean, I really think that's not like a rumor. I'm just going with that because I heard they were going to get Joe in the main roster, maybe at Rumble, give him a big push. And the only way I see is I see Miz feuding with Ambrose.
Right.
And I think that leaves Undertaker against Roman Reigns. I think that'd be a pretty good match.
Yeah. Right. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. How about the rumors of Kyle O'Reilly heading to WWE? Kyle O'Reilly right now, the Ring of Honor champion.
They're true. Okay. Yeah. Kyle O'Reilly's not the Ring of Honor champion.
Well, he's not the Ring of Honor champion, but
yeah. He almost was
the Ring of Honor champion, I should say. We just got them talking about it.
I know. If he would have won that match, I would say Adam Cole was coming and said, but you know, that was like a let's see who's going to leave Ring of Honor match.
Okay.
In Japan, but no, I don't think so. I think Kyle will do great in NXT, and he's definitely going. And Chris Hero's already there. Oh, I'm sorry, Cassius Ohno.
Oh, what a horrible name!
You might as well name him Yoko Ohno.
Can we just go back to Chris Hero? Can we just use that name, please?
He's really looking big.
What a horrible name, though.
Terrible name. This is what they do. You know, here I am putting Chris Hero's name out there, not weekly, but maybe every other week on the show, keeping his name going, talking about matches he does here and there. And now he goes to WWE NXT, and I'm like, they just drain the life out of me with their evil.
You know,
full blown devil worshippers, you know?
let's continue to have good program on NXT. That's, you know, that's fine with me.
Okay. You know? Okay.
It's not good enough for some people like you, obviously, but you already want him to debut on the main roster, right?
Who?
Cassius Ohno.
Who is that?
Good question.
Is that the guy that did a 4-hour long wrestling match for charity, or is that some NXT recruit? See what I'm saying? Okay.
I see what you're saying. Yes.
I care about the wrestlers. I don't care about the promotions.
Yeah, I get it. The WWE Royal Rumble, chock full of surprises. I know that it's going to be a show to watch for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we know that there are going to be some people already slated to participate. Goldberg has declared himself as the first entrant at the Royal Rumble match. Brock Lesnar is going to be there as well. We know that the New Day, all three of them will be in the match. Chris Jericho, Owens, Braun Strowman, Baron Corbin, Seth Rollins, Undertaker? Yeah, Undertaker is going to be in the match. I don't know where, what he's going to do.
Well, it'll set up his WrestleMania match, whatever he does.
Right. Dean Ambrose, Miz, Dolph Ziggler. So far, that's what's going on. And I think Roman Reigns may also be in it somehow. I'm not really sure what's going on.
He'll throw out Undertaker, maybe.
Could be.
And get quite a boo.
Right, right. It's very interesting. If you look at the Royal Rumble 2017 poster, you'll notice that the first line of people there, they're looking to fill that arena at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Texas, is actually propagated by part-timers. John Cena, Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, and Goldberg.
Hey, can you blame them? Can you blame them for putting in part-timers now for big shows? And
the next line is actually Charlotte, Roman Reigns, and Kevin Owens.
Yeah, the three guys that they're politically protected. Owens protected by Triple H, Charlotte protected by her family lineage, and who was the other person? Roman Reigns. We are
Roman Reigns, protected by Vince.
Protected by God himself, it seems like.
Yeah. Right, seemingly.
There you go.
And of course, you know, you'll see the New Day, you'll see Randy Orton in there, the typical, you know, guys. You've got Seth Rollins, AJ Styles in there, Sasha Banks. They're all there. Miz, Dolph Ziggler. You've got, who else you have? You've got Bayley in the poster. I think that's even R-Truth in the poster. I'm looking to see, oh my God, R-Truth, what the hell's he doing in there?
And then, I thought he had joined the 3-6 Mafia. Are they still
Sin Cara's in the poster of all things. Neville's in the poster. What the hell?
Neville's been looking good. There's something, Aljon.
Yeah,
Neville's been looking good.
Dean Ambrose is in the poster. You've got Bray Wyatt in the poster, and Kalisto's in the poster. I mean,
poor Kalisto.
Yeah, I know, right? So,
did you hear Del Rio got arrested again?
What's that?
Del Rio got arrested again. You hear that?
No, I didn't hear that.
Oh, God.
He was around this time.
Now he's
in. Was he hanging out with Paige? What was going on?
Him and his brother were in Austria, and he starts beating up a dude. So the police arrest him. Him and his brother was trying to stop him. They put him in plastic cuffs. He breaks them, and then they get into a fight in the jail, and then they arrest them both. And Aljon, what's going on with this guy? I think I know what it is, but I don't want to say it.
Okay, well, don't say it. I think people can read between the lines. Don't forget, the Royal Rumble will be on the exclusive WWE Network January 29th of 2017. To subscribe, all you have to do is click our link there for Pro Wrestling Cast there for the WWE Network at ProWrestlingCast.com. I just have to put that clip in there. Last but not least, as we wrap up this program, our first show of 2017, Stephen, you know, TNA.
Oh, I have breaking news on TNA. I forgot to tell you.
Go ahead. Breaking news on TNA. Let's break it.
They did tapings tonight with their new ownership and Jeff Jarrett and Dutch Mantel from Dixon right down the road from me are there. Okay.
Yeah.
And I just want to let you know that Vanguard 1, I guess the renowned scientist must have did this, now has the ability to teleport the Hardys to other areas of the world. Right. And the Hardys came out and told the crowd this, and then Vanguard One came out and they disappear.
That's great.
Spoiler alert. So they now have the ability, and there was actually an active Twitter poll made done by Vanguard One's Twitter page that I follow, of course.
Oh.
And I voted for teleportation.
As a power?
Well, they had three choices of what, you know, and I was like, well, yeah, teleportation.
Why the hell not?
Yeah, so now Vanguard One has the ability to teleport them to other areas.
I would love to. You know what? In the following weeks, I would say in February, we're going to book Vanguard One for an appearance on this program. And it's going to be magnificent. It will be excellent.
He's more over than the New Day.
I will say this, that, you know, there have been press releases, you know, that, you know, TNA is under brand new ownership. Yeah. Billy Corgan is out. Dixie is out. And that's a good thing. I mean, you know, TNA is going to survive and maybe even thrive. I will say this, the last bit of new programming from TNA that was posted at the end of the year, we did not get a chance to talk about the Final Deletion. You know, the Hardys, can do no wrong.
Well, you don't mean the Final Deletion. You're talking about Tag Team Apocalyptico or whatever.
Yeah. Tag Team Apocalyptico, whatever.
Okay. Okay. Neither one of us can say it. Let me say this, and this is, I'm glad you brought it up because, you know, we have had a bit of a...
Oh, Total Nonstop Deletion. That's what it was called. I'm sorry.
Right. There was a bit of a stretch of time that we didn't do the show. And let me just say this. This is really important for me to get out there. When the Rock and Roll Express came out, I mean, I was just like, you know, this guy really gets me, this Matt Hardy. He gets me. He knows what I want to see. I want to see the Rock and Roll Express come back, eat some food and drink some beer at their house, and then have an old-fashioned style wrestling match with them. And then, you know, when they did their little loop-de-loop, double drop, all this stuff with them, I was popping so hard. Yes. Then they did this Night of the Skywalkers sort of, you know, tribute with Animal at the end, too, and they left him up there, and they were fighting on the... I got to tell... I was one of the most biggest pop moments for the year for me. I mean, I was popping so hard for that. I was just unbelievably great.
How much money do you think the Hardys out of pocket spent to do that special because of all the cameos from all the superstars? You had Hornswoggle, you had Animal, you had the Rock and Roll Express, you had in there.
I'm going to say $100,000. I mean, I'm really guessing.
I mean, it was just an amazing
$75,000, $100,000.
Yeah, I mean, they could have, you know, we could have easily spliced in the New Day to come in there, you know, from their backyard brawl from this past year, just to put in there because it would have, the footage would have fit in nicely. I thought it would have been great. But at the end of the day, it was still compelling television, even though the entire special was done in the Hardy compound with a handful of invited wrestling fans. And did it expose the fact that it was just a very small, intimate operation, perhaps. Was it entertaining? Still, yes.
It was better than any Raw this year. Well, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it was very compelling television, to say the least. You know, I thought the, Bobby Lashley match, you know, was good. You know, there was a lot of great moments, but the cameos were definitely... better than a lot of the Royal Rumble cameos that we've seen in recent history.
You mean Robert Gibson?
Yes.
I mean, I'm a big Rock and Roll Express guy. You know,
it was still very so good. It was so good.
They're really solid still. I mean, yeah, they're very old. And
God, please, can we put them in the rest of the WWE Hall of Fame already, please? Even though they're
WWE, please. Come on, man. You know, when I lived around Asheville before I met you, when I moved to Nashville, they would have like posters up all the time, like, oh, Rock and Roll Express is appearing in Black Mountain, which is an area in North Carolina in the mountains where I used to live. Like, it's like, there's just like business as usual up in the mountains, man. They're just doing their thing, you know?
They're still at it. I mean, they're just living legends. And I tell you what, we're going to close our program today with great clips. Great clips.
You mean like where I get my haircut?
Get your haircut.
They have a good one in Green Hills. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, we're gonna go ahead and give you some really good clips from Apocalyptico, the Total Nonstop Deletion. Might as well. We're going to cap it off with the Hardys tonight on the program. I tell you, we're going to be talking about more of the Royal Rumble, as well as NXT 205 Live, what's going on in other independent promotions, new signings, and of course, New Japan in future episodes of Pro Wrestling Cast. Don't forget once again to like and subscribe to our program on iTunes. Also on YouTube, we'd appreciate a thumbs up and leave your comments and questions on that program. Every little bit that you do helps our algorithm and helps us gain up in the ratings, and we would appreciate it. In the world of different wrestling podcasts, we do appreciate you taking the time out to listen and pressing play on our program every single week. Steven, where can people find you?
You can find me for now on Twitter until I give up on Twitter. My name is
you won't give up that lifeline between you and Dave Meltzer. I know you won't.
You know, that's true. That is so one way
you can talk. And like Roppongi Vice and Shinsuke Nakamura and
Nakamura
and the Young Bucks.
No, I don't like Nakamura anymore.
Oh, come on.
I told you I'm a Naito fan now. I don't like
Nakamura. It's okay, Shinsuke. I'm still
Naito. Naito is coming up. Nakamura stayed where he's at, you know, and that's just the way it is. I know everybody else loves him.
That's what happens. We all knew what was going to happen.
Go ahead and wrestle like Jake the Snake all you want.
Oh, Jake the Snake, we should get him on the podcast, you know. Come on, Snake. You know, it's high time that we got our friend Scott Hudson back on the program. I think we need
to see Scott Hudson on the program and ask him what he thinks of Kenny Omega's drop kicks. I mean, Okada's drop kick. The Okada drop kick on Kenny Omega, that has to be the greatest drop. That's the greatest drop kick I've ever seen.
It is Ricky Steamboat worthy. And he's got the best drop kick in the business.
I told all you people a year ago that Kenny Omega would be the guy. Now he's everyone to talk about all of the stuff. Just listen to me. Wait a year. Okay. I mean, I'm the cool guy that watches wrestling. Okay. Okay. That's why you listen to us. Okay.
You know, there you go. Cool, this is why this is it right here.
He already has that. That took us a long time to come in the mail. He already has it. You guys understand this? The cool people in high school, it matriculates downward. That's who we are.
That's right. That's right.
Really easy to understand.
For life. And of course, Nick Bockwinkel in this episode. Follow him at Dr. Deathmark. Follow me at P Wrestling Cast. Also at Jenny Mouseketeer for more geekiness. And I tell you, we're going to have all those links there in the show notes below. And once again, we do appreciate it. Stay tuned for some great wrestling promo action. From the likes of the Hardys, from the Hardy Compound, and Total Nonstop Deletion from 2016. In the meantime, don't forget to tuck your head, and we will see your ass next week. Take care.
Pro Wrestling Cast, promo of the week.
Gift, the express that rock and rolls. Oh, I assume you're here for Total Nonstop Deletion.
We're here to prove that we're the greatest tag team that ever lived.
Oh, you're here for Apocalypto. You are here to prove you are the greatest tag team in all of time and space. I see.
You're dressed and ready to go.
Well, as the forefathers of tag team wrestling, I must invite you inside my humble abode. Can I get you some fruits? Maybe some vegetables or some meat? Green beans, maybe?
Oh, green beans. I'm always green beans.
I'll take a beer.
Delightful! Please, come in!
You know, God loves crazy people. He made a bunch of us.
That's what you get!
How dare you desecrate the Honorable Skarsgård!
Well, he started it!
You need a change of attitude!
Nation, how could you? I've never seen you produce such a revolting result. Oh, yeah.
You're not Shannon. You're not Evan. They were way better than you guys.
And here's how we're gonna do it.
Looks like this dynasty is broken.
It's delightful to see you on the right side of the light again, superhero. Cheers.
Official! Official! I have a mind. I have a pinfall attempt.
1, 2, 3!
Yes! Yes! Oh!
Man with three H's would be proud of the way we buried this young, promising talent.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still rude to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.